thank you for being here tonight. It's good to see so many. With the children gone, it's amazing to see how many are here tonight, and I know we're in for a good VBS. My topic this evening is God's way in education, and I appreciate the topic. When you see the Discovery Channel and you see the training that mothers give to a lot of their young out in the wild, it's an amazing thing. When you see, in fact, there's some that are just born with the knowledge of how to survive, how to live. We were out the other day over in Kenya, went out on sort of a safari, and we saw this mother cheetah, and she was teaching her young how to hunt. And she went through it, she showed them how. That's God's way in education for the cheetahs and the wild animals. But we're talking about God's way in education for people. And tonight I'd like to share with you some thoughts along this line. Ever since the beginning, it's been parents' responsibility to educate their children, to teach them to survive. That's our basic responsibility with our own children, to teach them to become self-supporting from the time they're born till the time they're out on their own. We still have that responsibility as parents to teach them. Deuteronomy 6 tells us, Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, and you shall teach them, these are important concepts and commands of God, you shall teach them diligently, or with a lot of effort, with enthusiasm, with excitement. Teach them diligently unto your children, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That's the way you go about it, that careful instruction to those children as we rear them. And then in Proverbs 22, verse 6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. We don't understand all of that verse. I certainly don't understand all of it. But I do know there's some basic fundamental principles that we teach to our children. Basically, we teach them traits of character, and we also teach them how to deal with the relationship with God and with one another. And I'll be addressing those this evening. Jesus obviously was taught by his parents because we see in Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and with man. And those are the basic things that a person needs in order to survive and to be successful. Wisdom, you need to know how to live, and we talk about the theme of freedom, teaching how to live and how to make a living. That's a part of wisdom. And stature, the physical growth and development. That's why you teach physical education in school and why you encourage healthy bodies. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God. That's the spiritual. It's so sad to see that the spiritual is being neglected by lots of people. In fact, the exciting thing that Brother Whittle and others have said and that have come back from Russia is they're saying that the people there are missing something. There's something void in their life, and it's spiritual. We know that, and we've been knowing that. A person can be trained about everything and be void of spiritual matters, and they still are not educated. Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and with man, learning how to get along. I used to think that was sort of, I didn't see any reason for that business of learning how to get along. I just thought that was understood. You just automatically learn. But I find that that's the one thing that gives most of us more trouble than anything else. It's the relationship with one another. We wouldn't have any conflicts in the church if we all knew how to get along. So many divisions along the way and things have been over personality conflict where folks haven't learned to get along. But then you go into a church peaceful, harmonious, like this one, and where they've learned how to get along, where we've learned how to live and accept one another as we are, and all of us in that effort of trying to go to heaven. And you see a peacefulness, a happiness, a joy, a contentment that is important. Let's talk about the first thing, the character traits that are to be taught. I mentioned earlier about train up a child in the way he should go. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, if a man will not work, neither should he. To me, I see that as a work ethic. We have a responsibility to be able to work, to teach our children to work, to be able to earn their living by working and showing them the way. I've laughed many times at my thing about my dad living out on that farm. We've repaired a lot of fences and done all those things that you do on the farm. And I thought, I learned a lot of those things. I'm not farming now. But he did a lot of talking to me about things that I'd encounter once I got out. And I look back and remember and appreciate those times that he sat down and talked with me, talked about how important it was to do a good job, whatever you do. Teaching a young person how to work. Here are some other things that we have a responsibility in teaching. And by the way, I was hearing a song this morning as I was driving up to address, and it said, I'd rather see a sermon any day than to hear one. And the thing that's important there is the power of an example. And here probably is the way that we teach our children, more by example. It's caught more so than it's taught. Love, joy, peace. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Teaching them love, joy, peace. You mothers have worked with your children and having to separate them and when they're in a little squabble with one another, that's teaching them peace. Patience, learning to count to 10 before you say what you really have on your mind to say, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Last evening, or in the last day or so, I was listening to them talking about somebody who every time they would put him in prison, the crime rate in that area would go down. And they came to the conclusion the best place for this guy is to stay in prison because he doesn't have the self-control. And as a result, he'll spend probably the rest of his life in prison. There are some things to avoid that we're to teach. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, dispute, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness. I was noticing in a church bulletin in the last week or so that Paul Rogers over at Centerville was saying that he was quoting somebody's research that the average college student drinks 34 gallons of liquor a year. I'm so thankful that we have a place like Freed Hardeman and the other Christian colleges where it's not permissible. Do you say it happens sometimes? Yes. But do you try every way in the world to prevent it? There are rules against it, and we certainly hope that the percentage is way, way down because of the rules, and we just do not condone it, and you don't either. Carousings and such like. Those are things that you teach against. A Christian, it ought to be balanced. Know the things that are good to teach, and know those things that are bad to teach about also. I was visiting with Jim Shaw up in, I believe, Collinsville, Illinois the other day. He was telling about an incident that he had been involved in. And I thought, boy, that's what a lesson. He was telling about this company that he was working with, and he sold out his part of it. And they made a 3-year agreement, a no-competition agreement. And after a while, there were just some reasons that he really wanted to get back into the business. And he talked to his lawyer, and he talked to accountants, and talked to several different folks, and they said, you can't bind that agreement. Even though you signed it 3 years ago, there's nothing that would keep you from going ahead and starting your business back up and competing. He went and sat down with his daddy and told his daddy what the situation was. And his daddy looked at him and he said, son, did you sign that agreement? And he said, yes, sir. He said, is your word not worth anything? He said, we waited for 3 years. And he said, I believe because I waited, the Lord has blessed me richly as a result of that. So the respect that he had for his dad, even though he's in his 30s, he still respected what his dad had to say. Honesty is still an important trait to teach. And then that care for one another. Last Friday night and Saturday, yesterday morning, Laurel and I were over in Nashville meeting with her graduating class of 1960. And we met together late. It was, I guess, maybe 12:30 or 1 o'clock. That was the last time we were together, late Saturday night. And of course, these folks had had that common experience at Mars Hill, and many of them had come here as students. We were sitting around talking. Somebody said, we really can't end this without a devotional of some type. And they started saying, let's sing Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I remember that as one of the songs that they especially wanted to sing. Then they wanted to sing My God and I. And then another, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. And I sat there and I listened and wept as we sang those beautiful songs. And then there was a tremendous prayer of that evening. And I wondered what the next door neighbors in the other room in the motel would be thinking. At least we weren't reveling. At least we were, there was a devotional. I thought, after several years of being out of school, those important things are still important. And I thought, that's the kind of education. Their mothers and daddies probably never dreamed that their kids would be doing what they were doing here in 1992. And how glad they are. Some of them have already gone on to meet their rewards. And then yesterday as we were riding back, I was thinking about a positive attitude that's so important to teach to our children. I like this church and I like the people in it. I like our preacher because he has a positive attitude. I like just like being around positive people. But there was a song that was playing on the radio and I jotted it down because it typifies what I'm talking about. The song said, give her thorns and she'll find the what? The roses. Give her sand and she'll find the sea. Give her rains, and what did it say? She'll find the rainbow. And that beautiful song, I've heard, and you probably heard, you probably sung it at weddings before, but it indicates a positive attitude. That's a thing that you teach and instill in your children. Now, we've been talking about character traits. Let's talk about some relationships in the last 5 or 6 minutes, or however long we have. I see relationships as basically two. One is with God, and the other is with others. Let's talk about those. We're told in Matthew 6:33 what our relationship ought to be with God, but seek ye first. Put God first in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if we are putting that priority there, that will help keep us motivated and keep us in the right relationship with God. Love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Love with God. When you're devoting yourself to God, you don't have time for some of the other things that go on, some of the problems that go on out there. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Who is my neighbor? First off, it's the person next to you. It's your spouse, your children, the people that live next to you, the people that works with you, that work with you, the people all around, they're your neighbors. We don't have, our neighbors usually aren't as close as those neighbors were that we saw in Kenya, where there'd be a little Matatu bus, and there it looked like it could carry about 30 and that have 60 on it. I mean, their space is a lot more closer than yours and my space requirements are. And their neighbors live right next door to them. In fact, so many of the families live in the same house. I love that beautiful song, Closer Walk With Thee. Just the closer walk with Thee. That should be our prayer. Closer walk with the Lord. Be close to Him. And then, of course, that relationship with others, golden rule, as you would that men should be you, do ye even so unto them. Treating others like we want to be treated. And you look at business book after business book and read magazine article about good businesses and those that are successful, they operate under the golden rule. And we know exactly where it comes from. And they acknowledge it. Back in the Old Testament, we had the Ten Commandments. Let me just cite those. You are to have no other gods before you but God. Make no idols to other gods. Stick with God. We're not to use God's name in vain. Don't you cringe when you hear God's name on television or out in the community. Folks that really aren't even aware that the word gosh is using the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, of course, that's been taken care of. Honor thy father and thy mother, that's bringing honor and glory to your parents. You're not to murder, no adultery, no stealing. See, that's treating others like you want to be treated. Telling no lies on others. You shall not covet others' property. And then look at the relationships that we see, especially with husbands and wives. Husbands are to love their wives, and wives are to respect their husbands. The relationship of children to parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee. Thou mayest live long on the earth. I asked a youngster at a camp one time, I said, what does that mean? Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. They said, well, if you don't honor them, if you don't do what they say, they'll knock your head off. Well, I'm not sure that it meant exactly that, but that's pretty close to it, I guess. But we have that responsibility of parents to children, especially fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And then a merry heart. A merry heart is so important in relationships. I was mentioning about Ben a few moments ago. I just enjoy being around Ben because of his sense of humor. Just last evening, we were sitting together, he just has a wealth of stories, and just makes you feel good to be around him and hear those kinds of things. I really don't trust anybody that doesn't have a little sense of humor. If they're void of humor, I really have a difficult time in trusting them about other things. But that merry heart just evaporates some big problems that come along the way. Let's talk about being an example. 1 John 13:15, of course, we are told to be an example. That's for all of us, to be an example. This morning, I was looking at a bulletin board, and it just caught my attention because it said something that really made a great impression. And it said, some little children, and there were some strings going across the bulletin board up to the top, and then heaven was up here in the corner. And in between the little children and heaven was a mother and a daddy, a man and a woman, probably mother and daddy. And the statement on there that says, they look to God, but through you. They look to God, but through you. And I began to think, who is looking at God through us? And what kind of a reflection, or what do they see? And then I thought about some folks. I was just thinking, I saw Brother James Wiggins this afternoon. And I just picked up out in the community the respect that people have for him, not only from his work as a principal. I don't believe he's in here, so I'm talking about it. But the respect that the people have, they're seeing Jesus through him. Now, I remember the story out at Jack's Creek of the Crow family that started becoming Christians. And somebody asked, well, what was it that caused them to start becoming Christians? And they said, well, we've been watching Brother and Sister John Tigger. And as a result, we wanted to be like them. And as a result, we became Christians. And that they had been watching the way they lived and the way they treated their son, the way they lived around other people. Then. Who's watching you? And what kind of an example are you and I showing? There are some wonderful examples. One evening, I guess it was a day or a few days before Scott was heading off to Kenya, we were had Sister Laura over for dinner that evening, and some others, and Sister Laura, as she was going to the door, Scott followed her to the door. And I didn't know, Laura and I, neither one knew what he was going to say. And he said, Miss Laura, you don't know this, but one of the reasons that I'm going to the mission field, is because of the way that you used to talk about missionaries, and you built them up. And in my mind, it became very important. It's important to you, and it's important to them. Miss Laura probably didn't realize the impact that she was having on that little boy at that time. And that's the first time we ever knew that was one of the things that caused him to want to go. Thought about that the other day when I was sitting there in that church at Nairobi, Kenya. Some of the people were there barefooted. There were about 600 folks there. There was congregation meeting upstairs that were Ethiopian. A deaf congregation was meeting another part of the building. The folks that we were meeting with spoke Swahili, and I couldn't understand a word they said. Now, though, Miss Laura Lakin's influence is showing up right here in this work right here. Some of the most powerful preachers, don't take me wrong, some of the most powerful teachers in the Brotherhood today are the teachers that are teaching those little children that are out here, teaching them those important concepts that they'll be able to go. The Bible says, let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven.
I think we all would be in agreement that we certainly appreciate your balance in the presentation tonight. One of the things that I would encourage each of you to think about, this is a commercial, would like to have you really, really pay attention. The impact that we have as an example on the little ones, as Brother Milton just mentioned, is just outstanding. Some of us in the auditorium have not seriously considered being here again until Wednesday. But we could be here tomorrow night, and we could be here right through each of the evenings. When those little ones who listen to what we say turn around and don't see us doing what we're saying, it leaves an extremely powerful impact on them. Let's each one of us, all it takes is a shower. Come if you can't even shower. A change of clothes, come if you can't change clothes. If you really smell bad, sit in the back, we'll still pray for you. But it's extremely possible for almost every one of us, if we determine to be here every single night of VBS. The Lord will be here, and I can't imagine of anybody who has a busier schedule than Jesus. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we are so richly blessed. Help us to depend so much more upon you. And help us to live in such a way that you would be proud to be called our Father. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. We've got about a 15-minute break, and if we go through, no, listen to Ben. Let's go, okay? We are above what we anticipated tonight. It may take a little longer for the refreshment break, but we're glad for that. At this point, I've counted 464. And I'm not for sure, were there others that came into the auditorium after we started? You're there, you got them five. Did you get the three that are upstairs, four there? Okay, that makes another 10. So we're around 475. For the next 15 minutes, we'd like for you to just fellowship among yourselves. You'll go out this door. There's a rope across, or a line across the breezeway. Stay on this side of it. Go into the educational building if you want something to drink or a cookie or two, and then go on through and come out that end and stand outside and mill around and enjoy it. And when you're through, throw the cup in the box, please. You're dismissed at this point.